The fire made that open, but the devil will return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely. Okay, welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on your Friday night health and wellness broadcast. Coming at you on Republic Broadcast Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send the fundage to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's where you can mail in your check or money order made out to RBN. You can call that debit or credit card number into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Also, you can use PayPal. If you smash that donate button, you will find the many ways to donate on the RBN homepage. And you can go to our wonderful archives and hear all sorts of great truth. Earlier today on the National Intel, we had none other than Dr. David Duke rocking the Natty Intel second hour with the Cape Crusader himself, Patrick Slattery. And they did a whole program on the Ukraine and the intricacies thereof. And so you want to catch that in the archives on David Duke's debut as a guest host. He's been on RBN as a guest many times, once on my show, several times on Patrick's show, but this was the first time that he has actually guest hosted a show, and the National Intel at that. So good stuff. I want to start off with health and wellness tonight, talking about a very odd article here that I got from the Stormer. Failed experiment. Man who accepted mutant pig heart transplant dies after 2 months as a monster. That's what happens when you get a transplant from an animal to a human. From The Guardian, the first person to receive a heart transplant from a pig has died. 2 months after the groundbreaking experiment, the Maryland hospital that performed the surgery announced on Wednesday. David Bennett, 57, died on Tuesday at the University of Maryland Medical Center. Doctors did not give an exact cause of death, saying that his condition had begun deteriorating several days earlier. Well, I can tell you what it is. He got a pig heart. That's why he died. You don't put an animal's heart in a human's body, but whatever. Back to the article. Bennett's son praised the hospital for offering the last-ditch experiment, saying the family hoped it would further the efforts to end an organ shortage. We are grateful for every innovative moment, every crazy dream, every sleepless night that we went into this historic effort, according to Bennett Jr. on a statement released by the University of Maryland School of Medicine. We hope this story can be the beginning of hope and not the end. Well, it was the end for Pigman, okay? Let me just tell you, I would just rather die as to put an animal's organ in my body. I can't even fathom that. That's just me. Back to the article. Doctors for decades have sought to one day use animal organs for life-saving transplants. Again, for decades, doctors have sought to one day use animal organs for life-saving transplants. Bennett was a handyman from Hagerstown, Maryland. He was a candidate for this newest attempt only because he otherwise faced certain death, ineligible for a human heart. Bedridden and on life support and out of options, after the January 7th operation, Bennett's son told the Associated Press that he knew there was no guarantee it would work. Prior attempts at such transplants have failed largely because patients' bodies rapidly rejected the animal organ. Again, patients' bodies rapidly rejected the animal organ. This time, the Maryland surgeons used a heart from a gene-edited pig. Oh, that makes a difference. Scientists have modified the animal to remove pig genes that trigger the hyperfast rejection and add human genes to help the body accept the organ. At first, the pig heart was functioning, and the Maryland hospital issued periodic updates that Bennett seemed to be slowly recovering. But last month, the hospital released a video of him watching the Super Bowl from his hospital bed while working with his physical therapist. The need for another source of organs is huge, other than animals. So, more than 41,000 transplants were performed in the U.S. last year, a record including about 3,800 heart transplants, but more than 106,000 people remain on the national waiting list. Thousands die every year before getting an organ, and thousands more never even get added to the list, considered too much of a long shot. Let me just throw something else out here. I will not be an organ donor, and you will never see me waiting for an organ. If this liver goes out, it's been great knowing you. It's a good day to die. I'll just go on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm confident where I'm going after death, and I'm not going to have some other person's organ in me, much less an animal. That's just the way it is. Anyway, so going on to more health and wellness news. Let's see, what do we got next? Oh, a fourth shot. What's the headline here? So, CNBC, Pfizer planning to submit data on a fourth COVID shot soon, while working on a vaccine for all variants. Repeat, all variants. Key points. Pfizer plans to submit data to the FDA for a fourth COVID shot soon, CEO Albert Bourla told NBC on Friday. He also said, "We are making a vaccine that covers Omicron and all the other variants." Bourla's comments come exactly 2 years after COVID was declared a pandemic by the WHO on March 11th, 2020. Pfizer plans to submit data to the Food and Drug Administration for a fourth COVID shot soon, and it's working on a vaccine that protects against all coronavirus variants, CEO Albert Bourla told CNBC. Science. I think we're going to submit to FDA significant progress of data about the need for a fourth dose, and they need to make their own conclusions, of course. Of course, the CDC would approve that. It's clear that there is a need in an environment of Omicron to boost the immune response, Bourla said in an interview on Squawk Box. He said, "We're making a vaccine that covers Omicron and all the other variants. There are so much trials that are going on right now, and a lot of them will start reading by the end of the month," he continued later, adding that he's optimistic. Bourla's comments come exactly 2 years after COVID was declared a pandemic by the WHO on March 11th, and ground the global community economy to a halt. Pandemic fighting measures put into place shortly after, including mask mandates and travel restrictions, and then major breakthrough came when COVID vaccines were developed for clear use. Since then, around, oh, get this, 81.4% of the American population, 5 years old or older, have received at least one dose of vaccine out of three cleared in the U.S. from Pfizer. 81.4% of the American population, 5 years old or older. Of the three cleared in the U.S. from Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is what I was mentioning weeks and weeks and talking about why they're shifting from the COVID narrative to the Ukrainian war narrative. They've achieved their goal. If this is true, and who knows, 81.4%, even with a margin of error of like 10%, man, that's a lot of people. So they've gotten their percentage vaccinated that they want, and now they're ready to move on. And people will still go get vaccinated. They'll still just go on with the narrative. And anytime they want to roll out another virus, so-called virus, anytime they want to do that, they've got the framework for it. We have literally been blinded with science on these vaccines, to our detriment. Anyway, so this whole thing is what we covered earlier this week on Monday and Tuesday. This mass psychosis formation, mass formation psychosis, where the entire global populace has just been brainwashed and they'll go along with whatever. COVID was just forming the infrastructure of this brainwashing, and now you can just plug in whatever, and you've got the framework there for lockdowns, any type of extreme measures to take away your rights. Just replace COVID with Ukrainian war or climate change or aliens invading, whatever you want. The framework is there. So yeah, that's sort of the way I explain what we've witnessed in the last 2 years. And so, speaking of the Ukrainian war and the whole Russia thing, man, a lot of diplomacy is broken down, 30 years worth of diplomacy, and companies boycotting Russia, everything and everybody boycotting Russia. I actually heard that they're not playing Tchaikovsky at some classical music venues, which is totally ridiculous. But here's something that caught my eye was McDonald's. This is according to CNN Business. Now, if you remember, after the Berlin Wall fell in 89, bringing the winds of change into Russia, you had a lot of businesses come into Russia, and McDonald's was one of them. But now, it's abandoning the country of Russia. When McDonald's opened its doors in Moscow for the first time, it was a big deal. It was the dead of winter, January 31, 1990. Still, people came out in droves. Grainy CNN television footage shows lines snaking out the door and throngs of people inside trying to get Big Macs for the first time. Wow. The Punskin Square location was massive. With the capacity to seat hundreds of people, it was the largest McDonald's restaurant in the world at the time. Wow, the largest in the world. Inside, the fast food joint was bustling. In most ways, it looked like any other McDonald's from the era, but there was a hammer and sickle flag under the golden arches. It was an international theme inside, featuring a model of London's Big Ben in the dining room. Bright-eyed McDonald's employees wearing maroon banded visors and big smiles took customer orders. They were the chosen ones. 630 employees made the cut out of 27,000 applicants. According to a 1990 Washington Post article, they underwent a month of training before the store opened for business. The Golden Arches were an immediate success on the first day. 30,000 people were served, a McDonald's record for opening day, according to the CBC. At the time, the location had to stay open for hours later than planned because of the crowds. McDonald's arrival in Moscow was about more than just Big Macs and fries. This was according to Dara Goldstein Wilcox, B. Harriet, professor of Russia. It was the most important, prominent example of glasnost in action. Soviet Union President Mikhail Gorbachev's attempt to open up his crumbling country to international relations. There was really a visible crack in the Iron Curtain, she said. It was very symbolic about the changes that were taking place. But about 2 years later, the Soviet Union would collapse. It really disbanded. It didn't collapse, by the way. After that first spot opened up, McDonald's expanded its reach within the country. As of last week, there were about 850 locations operating in Russia. But Russia's invasion of Ukraine prompted McDonald's to change course. Yes, on Tuesday, the winds of change blew in a different direction, and the company announced that it would pause operations in those restaurants, following similar decisions by other Western firms. So Goldstein says this moment is just as symbolic as the opening. The closing is just as symbolic as the opening, but far less hopeful. If the opening of McDonald's in 90 symbolized the beginning of a new era in Soviet life, one with greater freedoms, then the company's current exit represents not just a closing down of businesses of society, but a closing down of society of a whole, she said. And my comments here for your health and wellness, I think it symbolizes a return to health for the people of Russia, as they don't have to consume all those trans fats and weird things that the chicken nuggets are made of that we don't really know. Anyway, that's a wrap on that. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more health and wellness, dudes. I'm in plain sight. And Mike said we could skip the break. So also because my recording went way long, I want to cover some news in my local West Kentucky News paper. Actual paper here that I sit on the back porch and read. I have it right here in my currently nicotine-stained hands. Frankfort, Kentucky, the Family Foundation applauds Republican Shane Baker. And why is that? Because a bill is passed in Kentucky. Church is essential act. Church is essential. Of course, this is in response to the closing down of churches in the state of Kentucky because of the fake-demic. Anyway, Shane Baker was the bill sponsor, and he, in the House chamber for the bill passage of House Bill 43, Church is Essential Act. Churches are essential to the spiritual, mental, and physical well-being of Kentuckians and their communities, explained David Walls, the executive director of the Family Foundation. With the passage of HB 3, churches will rightfully be recognized as essential to the well-being of our communities, and the governor's emergency powers will never again be misused to treat religious organizations worse than secular businesses. The Church's Essential Act will ensure that emergency powers are never again used to close the doors of the Commonwealth churches to people in need, while liquor stores, abortion clinics, and large retail stores still remain open. Churches in Kentucky were forced to file lawsuits challenging Governor Andy Beshear's COVID orders that prohibited in-person church services and threatened criminal penalties. Kentucky State Police were ordered by Beshear to document license plate numbers of church attendees and attach intimidating notices to their cars. But HB 43 would ensure that never again happens. The Church's Essential Act will now be considered in the Kentucky Senate. Kentuckians who wish to encourage their senator to pass the bill may call the legislative message line at 1-800-372-7181. That is 1-800-372-7181, and visit the Family Foundation's Action Center at Kentucky. And that website is kentuckyfamily.org/takeaction. kentucky-family.org/takeaction. So all my Kentucky residents out there listening, go ahead and call that number and smash that button on the website. And let's make this thing happen. It's past the House now. It's just got to get final approval. And now I want to go back to Miss Teresa Ann Pearson, who wrote those great articles that we would read back in the fall about foraging and collecting local plants and herbs for medicinal and health purposes. And this under the article in West Kentucky News, entitled My Two Cents by Teresa Ann Pearson. It is early spring and time to start foraging again. Let's get an early start by talking about some of the early things that we can forage. This week we are talking about cottonwood buds that are ready here in Western Kentucky. This is the buds of the leaves before they open up. You should be seeing those now or in the next week or so. The resin of the cottonwood buds contains salicin, which is the same compound that gives aspirin its pain-relieving and fever-reducing benefits. The resin is analgesic, anti-inflammatory, and antiseptic. This translates to externally incredibly wound healing and joint pain reduction when applied to the skin as a balm. Simply pinch the cottonwood buds off the stem in the spring and put in a plastic while harvesting. You can use the oil directly, but it can also be made into a salve by adding some beeswax to it to thicken it. Below is a simple and highly effective balm for pain and wound care called Balm or Gilead. This amazing balm dates back to biblical times and beyond and was much cherished for its healing properties. Balm or Gilead in the Bible was made with myrrh, but the cottonwood bud has the same properties and is used more today. Place the rinsed buds on a cookie sheet, lightly greased with coconut oil and parchment paper. Then set them in a warm oven for for a couple of hours. Then allow them to dry, to air dry for several more days before using. At this point, they are dry enough for storage in a cool, dry place until you are ready to use them making the balm. Here's the balm of Gilead ingredients, okay, that you rub on your joints. 6 ounces of organic extra virgin coconut oil, 2 ounces of extra virgin olive oil, 4 ounces of dried cottonwood buds, 1 tablespoon of beeswax pastilles. All right. Now, the instructions, what to do with these ingredients. Gently warm the oils together until the coconut oil is completely liquefied. Place the oil mixture of coconut and olive oil. Place the oil mixture into a tightly lidded jar and place in a crock pot with water up to the fill height on the jar, up to the fill height, and heat it on the lowest setting for 24 to 36 hours. If you prefer to not use heat, allow the mixture to infuse in a warm spot for at least 6 to 8 weeks. My comments here, I would say put it in the like under a window. Like if you put something on the dashboard of your vehicle, when the sun's shining through the front window, it'll warm it up. Anyway, there's my little notification. Mom said she made it back from Cracker Barrel, even through the snow and the sleet. So thanks, Mom. Glad you made it back safe and I don't have to come and get you in my four-wheel drive. Back to the cotton buds. Okay, so you let this oil infuse and you either heat it up or you let it heat naturally in a window with sun on it, okay? Then you strain the oil through a fine mesh sieve lined with muslin, wringing to extract all oil, right? Strain it through the mesh sleeve, wring it out, wring the oil out. Add beeswax pastilles to cottonwood bud infused oil and gently heat until the beeswax dissolves. Pour into a small jars and allow to cool completely before placing a lid on the jar. If you don't know which trees are in the cottonwood this early, then wait until later in the year and tag one so that you know next year. And for this year, you can order some online. You can order the balm of Gilead or you can order the cottonwood buds and make the balm yourself. So Miss Teresa adds to this note, my articles are for information purposes only and should not be construed as medical advice. Before using any herbal or natural remedies, check for appropriate dosages and drug interactions. Information contained here is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prescribe. So I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is not Miss Teresa writing. This is me. I think these are very excellent remedies. Everything that I've ever read from Teresa Ann Pearson. And I would use them in lieu of the corrupt pharmaceutical company and in lieu of the very, very corrupt medical establishment. Anyway, now we're up on the bottom of the bottom of the hour break, the 30-minute break, and we're going to take this one. So I'll be back on the other side with more health and wellness from In Plain Sight. Although it doesn't matter, you and me got plenty of time. There's nobody in the future, so baby, let me get you my love. Oh, no step for you to dance to, so slip your hand inside. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, welcome back to In Plain Sight Health and Wellness Edition on your Friday night broadcast, taking your calls live for your Friday night drive, 512-248-8252 from the Stormer, dailystormer.name in Australia. Kids are banned from seeing dying mother because of the deadly flu. So I guess this is from Snake Baker on the Stormer. So I guess they're still doing the flu thing in Australia. How do they have time to focus on democracy in the Ukraine? From LifeSite News, due to Western Australia's so-called new COVID measures, terminally ill 47-year-old mother of five was informed that her children are not allowed to visit her in the hospital. Despite her entire family being vaccinated against COVID-19, Joe Gittos was told that due to the state of Western Australia's red alert restrictions for hospitals, her children and her mother will not be allowed to visit during what are likely to be her final weeks to live. I was told a month ago that my wife, living for another 3 months, was optimistic. That was a month ago, and the condition has deteriorated since then, and very quickly, unfortunately. This is according to Darren Gito. This is the young lady's husband, Joe's husband. He told this to 10 News First Perth on Friday. Apparently, they're going to arrange an exemption for me so I can visit, but they won't allow the kids to see their mom, and they won't allow my wife's mom to see her either, according to the husband.
So, well, that's decent of them. They're going to allow the husband to visit, you know, the wife in her last days. But everyone else banned. While most nations have moved away from COVID-19 restriction in recent weeks and months, on Thursday, March 3rd, Western Australia officials announced that all hospitals in the state would be going on red alert, meaning that only essential personnel or those with exemptions would be allowed to visit anyone in a hospital. Wait a minute. My comments here, what about all those who are vaxxed? Oh, I guess that doesn't mean anything. Back to the article, Western Australia Premier Mark McGowan told the public that he hopes the measures will only have to be in effect for 1 month, which Guido said seems to be a bit callous, as his wife likely does not have a month left to live, and his family is certainly not the only family in such a time-sensitive situation. Australian doctor Mark Duncan Smith reacted to the government's decision to bar people from visiting sick or dying relatives in hospital as, quote, bordering on bureaucratic absurdity, unquote. Especially considering under the current COVID restrictions in the state, people can still go to nightclubs and other entertainment venues. Many Australians took to social media to slam the premier over what they deemed to be a nonsensical and inhumane policy. Daniel Moldovan says, I hope with all my heart that Premier McGowan rots in hell. Dad and family go with the kids. Don't take no for an answer. I'm sure there's enough of us out there who will happily pay your fine. This according to Australian former NBA player Andrew Bogut. So, that was a pretty bold statement from the former NBA guy. Take the kids in anyway. Don't let them stop you. Pay the fine. Probably most people can't afford the fine after the total and utter economic collapse that we've experienced in the working class in the last 2 years. So we are open for calls. Phone lines are open. Mike, did you say you had somebody waiting on the line? If not, I'm going to keep going with more articles. But, yeah. So we'll just do that. Getting back to more news on your health and wellness broadcast. What do we have here? We covered Facebook. Oh, the Jesse Smollett. I don't know if this is health and wellness, but we'll cover it anyway. Jesse Smollett is sentenced to 150 days in jail. And he goes on an extreme rant in court. All right. Breaking, Jesse Smollett sentenced to 150 days in county jail for lying to police about a racist and homophobic attack that a jury concluded that the actor himself had staged. Smollett was ordered on Thursday to pay $120,000 in restitution. That's from the AP. Disclosed TV, Jesse Smollett sentenced to 150 days in jail and 30 months of probation for lying to police and staging a hate crime. All right. So we'll read a little bit more from the Stormer article. Anglin writes, I think he might legitimately have some sort of schizophrenia or something. We don't really have very many examples of mixing black and Jew genetics, but we do know that he is a homophile, which is already an extreme mental illness. As he was screaming, he said, I could have admitted guilt at any time, meaning that he could have expected to get a plea deal and get him out of jail time. So on with the article, I don't even know what it means that he was innocent. The people who he paid to beat him up admitted to it. And a check that he signed, paying them for it, was entered into the court record. Furthermore, the court saw video of a dress rehearsal of the fake attack where he was practicing it with the Nigerian brothers. I LOL'd at the judge saying that comedians were making jokes about it. And so David Hookstead writes in his Twitter, Jesse Smollett sentenced to 150 days. $120,000 in restitution, and a $25,000 fine. We never will forget when Dave Chappelle united the country against him. Good old Chappelle, you can always count on him to come out with the raw truth. Anyway, Anglin writes, God bless Jesse Smollett, whatever the hell is wrong with him, from now until the end of this stupid anal empire. Whenever there is one of these hate crimes, everyone is going to immediately question it. The Jews do these constantly, much more often than the blacks, who do them a lot. So I kind of wish Jesse would have played up the Jewish part of his trifecta of oppression more. He should have said that his treatment was like the Holocaust. Instead, he pretended to be a black civil rights activist. Anyway, whatever. There you are, Jesse Smollett. And what's unfortunate is he'll just get even more famous from this, and he could write like books or just do television appearances and make a lot of money once he gets out of jail in 150 days. So, yeah. Anyway, we got callers. Let's go to the call screen. Wayne in Mississippi. Wayne, are you in Mississippi?
Yes, sir. Just a quick question, Jeremy. I enjoy listening to your show. I've been listening to it the last few weeks off and on, and you've got some good shows. But listen, do you follow, I know you're into the Bible, do you follow the food laws that are listed in Leviticus?
Well, no, I don't. This is an interesting conversation I had with Dr. Lorraine Day. She was a guest on my show. Oh, wait, that was last year sometime in 21. But, you know, in the New Testament, under Christ, we're not bound to the law. And if you remember, you know, the Apostle Peter was to be commissioned to go to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, and share the gospel with him. And the Lord appeared to Peter in a dream and said, and laid out in front of him this blanket full of various animals, some of which were unclean according to the law. And the Lord said, kill and eat. And, you know, Peter's like, no, I can't do that. And so the Lord said, you know, basically the gist of it was, you know, what the Lord has blessed, you can consider clean. And that was sort of an analogy for, you know, getting Peter to go to the Gentiles to spread the gospel to them and to not consider them unclean, because the gospel of Jesus is meant for the whole world. But I don't follow the food laws, and there's a couple of other verses in the New Testament, and I'll go ahead and look them up while you respond. But where are you going with this, Wayne? Tell me your thoughts.
I'm trying to follow the food laws, and you know, there's some foods I'm going to certainly miss, like catfish. Any fish that's doesn't have scales, you're not supposed to eat. And shellfish, being from Mississippi, you know, we have our shrimp and oysters and crawfish and that sort of thing. I'm just trying to ascertain, you know, what you're trying to do. And it's not a test question or something. I'm just trying to see how you, if you go by the food laws. But I would be interested in the New Testament where you're talking about that the Lord more or less overrules that. If you know those verses or chapters, or and I can hang up and you can mention them on your show later or tomorrow or Monday or something like that. And don't.
So as a New Testament Christian, and I'm not Jewish, I'm Irish. You know, when the gospel is opened up to, you know, the rest of the world, you know, the law of Moses was specific. It was specific for a specific time. And those food laws were for ceremonial purposes. And let's go back to Genesis real quick. And I will look up some New Testament, give you, you know, chapter and verse and book. But you remember when Noah came off the ark after the flood? Before the flood, they were all vegetarians. They weren't allowed to eat animals. And so after the flood, in Genesis 9, God allowed Noah under the Noahic covenant. He said, any animal that creepeth can be food for you. But even though all animals were allowed for food, there were clean and unclean animals. But those were for ceremonial purposes. Remember, Noah took 7 pairs of the clean animals and only 2 of the unclean. And the reason was that he was to offer sacrifices. So the whole purpose of having clean and unclean animals was for ceremonial sacrifice. And the Israelites, under the law of Moses in the Old Testament, were restricted to those dietary foods. But what I'm saying is that the New Testament counsel is that once you're in Christ, the law is fulfilled in Christ. You're not under the law. That's in Romans 6 and 7, if you want to read those full chapters in their context.
Okay.
We are dead to the law and alive to Christ. So the moral aspects of the law are still in force, right? Don't steal. Don't covet. Honor the Lord your God. Don't have idols. Those are moral principles, moral laws that we as New Testament Christians still follow. But the dietary restrictions are done away with, just like in the book of Hebrews says that all the sacrificial ceremonies are done away with. So I would add, because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, he offered his blood in heaven one time, and then he sat down at the right hand of God. And all of those animal sacrifices that they did, those are just pointing towards Jesus. So in the same way that all of the animal sacrifices were fulfilled, the clean and unclean dietary laws are done away with as well. Those are fulfilled in Christ. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad I made this phone call because that does make sense. And I'm going to, when I hang up here, I'll go to Romans 6 and 7 and read those. And also going to go, I wrote down Genesis 9, Noahic, I've never heard the term Noahic laws, but that's the laws of Noah
it's the covenant God made with Noah, signified by the rainbow. And the queers stole that symbol, but the original symbol of the rainbow was that God would never destroy the earth by flood again. And he told Noah that they were allowed to eat all animals. But then later on, when you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Israelites were separated from the other nations, they were given specific ceremonial laws, and it was just for them. And that's where your dietary laws come from. In the New Testament, and I'm going to pull the New Testament verses up if you do want to hang up and listen on.
I'll listen.
I'll try to cite those on the other side of the break.
We'll do. Well, listen, I'm glad I made the phone call. You were very educational, and I enjoy your show. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks a lot, Wayne. Appreciate the call. Yeah, and that's a very, very important question. I mean, if you want to abstain from like pork for health reasons, that's one thing. But the Bible allows a New Testament Christian to eat whatever they want. And it's up to you to decide what's healthy and what's not, how much, the level of exercise. Your body is a temple. And certainly you don't want to mistreat it. And everybody knows I drink alcohol. There you go. But I've cut down a lot, and I'm older now and more mature, and in moderation. The Bible allows for alcohol use in moderation. So that's the key there. But if you're going to try to go through that Old Testament, and if you're going to try to adhere to all the dietary laws, then you're binding yourself to adhere to all of the animal sacrifice laws, and to not wear certain clothing articles next to each other and whatnot. There's a lot of laws in there that are not moral, but they're ceremonial. And so, like I said, the book of Hebrews clearly says that the animal sacrifice system is done away with. Christ fulfilled that. And just to drive that point home, just to drive the nail through that coffin, the Lord God allowed the Romans to destroy Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. So the Jews cannot do animal sacrifices anymore, not according to the law of Moses. And that's why they came up with the Talmud. And the Talmud is a whole new form of Judaism that's corrupt and not Old Testament. And they completely skirt and go around the animal sacrificial laws. And so the current Orthodox Jews, they operate according to the Talmud, not the Old Testament, because it's impossible to operate according to the Old Testament. They don't have a temple. it's gone. And that was sort of God's way of saying that old system was abolished, and through Christ, you're in the new covenant. Got the break right here in my ear, and we're going to come back on the other side with some of those scripture references on diet in the New Testament.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
65, I was 17.
Okay, we are back. Last segment of In Plain Sight, Health and Wellness Edition. Mike, come on and give us your announcement of the top of the hour break, a little change.
Yeah, hi, everybody. I just wanted everyone to know, if you're listening to the new Secure Stream, we had a little issue during the David Duke show where it went to a pre-recorded sort of track. Some music might have been a little offensive. Sorry about that. But I'm going to restart that again. We've upped it so that it's capable of handling up to 500 listeners, because we had maxed it out at a lower rate. And that will be restarted. So if you're listening to that stream right now, you're going to get kicked off in about, whatever, 5 minutes. I know we have about 100 people there, so just letting you know. And after that, we should be letting it ride for a while. But like always, the other streams are available at any time. That's just for certain applications and browsers, certain sites that are embedding our stream where they have to be secure. Otherwise, just try something else. Move on over to another one if it works for you. Just letting you know.
Thanks a lot, Mike. So, yeah, I noticed that first hour of Natty Intel, about 25 minutes in the first hour, it kicked off and went to some rap song. So I gave Mike a call and he got that fixed, but the archives are secure. I want to address Wayne's question about clean and unclean food. Wayne in Mississippi. So Wayne, I hope you're listening. In addition to Genesis 9, Romans 6 and 7, consider in the 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking in lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving for those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, and that's verses 1 through 5. So the dietary laws do not apply to you as a New Testament Christian, just like the animal sacrifice system doesn't apply to us. And it would be impossible to do it because the temple's gone. You have to have the Jewish temple in Jerusalem in order to do the sacrificial system. So the Orthodox Jews are totally in error, thinking that they're obeying the law of God. They're not. They're going by the Talmud. So it's perfectly fine to eat whatever food is offered, as long as, according to 1 Timothy 4, that it is received with thanksgiving. So pray over your food. You know, that having been said, God gives you common sense. If you have heart conditions or whatever, there's certain foods you can't eat or that you should abstain from. And, you know, maybe limit your intake of meat, of pork. But, you know, fish is always good. I would steer away from chicken because of all the, you know, the huge amounts of additives they put into the baby chicks, the steroids. But that having been said, there's nothing religiously wrong with eating all sorts of meat. They're all good. That will wrap for the night. Appreciate the call, Wayne. And thanks to all of you for listening in. We'll be back Monday night on In Plain Sight. Have a great weekend. Tune in to Farron in the morning at 8 a.m. Central on RBN. Great show.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.